Blog Talk Radio.
Koda, Mojuba, Asheda, Mojuba, Alua, Mi, Apolabi, Pega, Mojuba, Araba, Mi, Adesanya, Awuyade, Mojuba, Ogute, Compound, Ode, Remo, Mojuba, Baba, Mojuba, Yeye, Mojuba, Egun, to all the God children, Mojuba, Egun, to all the Babalawos, the Ears, Mojuba, Egungun, to all the chiefs, Mojuba, Egungun, to all the Awos, Mojuba, Egungun, to all those that are listening. Who are tuned in, we give praise and thanks to the Most High. We say Ashe, 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 Ashe-o.
Ashe-o. Welcome to Sign of the Times, everyone. This is Queen Tahira. Sign of the Times is brought to you by the UAC, the United African Coalition for Justice and Human Rights, and New Power Radio Network. We began the UAC after the unjust Zimmerman verdict in 2013, and we want to thank you for your past and continued support of us and our sponsors, Manhood Raising Culture, headed up by my co-host on Wednesday nights, Dr. James Jones. You can find Dr. Jones on Facebook as James Jones and as a like and group page at manhoodraiseculture.com. Also, you can support Arlie Gordon of Unity Design. You can find Arlie on Facebook as Arlie Gordon II and unitydesign.com. And Unity is spelled U-N-I-T-E-E. Please reach out to Brother Arlie. Let him know how much we love him and support him and are going to continue to support him throughout his struggles there in Detroit. Brother Arlie's been out of commission for a minute. But, you know, I continue to mention him because I want all the brothers and sisters to know that when we say that we support you on Signs of the Times, New Power Radio Network, throughout the freedom movement, that does not swagger just because you may go through difficult times. We love you anyway. We love you regardless, because if something happens to me, I know that this love and energy is going to continue to flow because we planted some really good seeds. So a shout out to Brother Arlie Gordon of Unity Design. Please reach out to him on Facebook as Arlie Gordon and on World Wide Web at unitydesign.com. And Unity is spelled U-N-I-T-E-E. And last but not least, we want to always remember to never forget our beloved brothers and sisters who are behind enemy lines and the family and loved ones and friends that they represent. So please reach out to the Free Alabama Movement, the Free Ohio Movement, and Unheard Voices, respectively, on Facebook and on the World Wide Web at freealabamamovement.com and freeohiomovement.org. So tonight we're just going to open up the mic and kick it, see what's going on in your respective communities, check out some of the things that are happening in mainstream media, if you will. But what the first thing I'm going to do is start off by reading at least a portion of the article that was written by Benu Hannibal Rahsaan, formerly known as Melvin Ray of the Free Alabama Movement, and it was published in the January 2018 issue of the San Francisco Bay View. And the title of this particular piece is Boycott, Defund, Bankrupt, Say No to Canteen, Incentive Packages, Collect Phone Calls and Visitation During February, April, June, Black August, October, and December in 2018. And so it says, fire burns off the jewels, off the hidden gems to reveal the precious metal. In struggle, it is the call to action that burns off the negative habits, distort values, and laziness of those who answer that call to reveal the precious jewels of humanity. With 2018, just a few days away, it was written back in December, just a few days away, the call to action, that is the campaign to redistribute the pain, 2018 is set to kick off February 1st, 2018. Let the fire burn bright. Queen Tahira of the National Freedom and Justice Movement, Free Ohio Movement, and Sign of the Times Blog Talk Radio has created a flyer for the campaign in addition to our Redistribute the Pain WordPress site, which is redistributethepain.wordpress.com, and our redistributethepain@gmail email. Queen T can be reached on Facebook, on Sign of the Times group, and by email, signothetimes19@gmail.com, or call 513-913-2691. You can also write to her at 1623 Dalton Street, number 14939, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45250. As 2018 draws near, over 2.5 million people remain behind bars, walls, steel, and cages. The burden of changing our circumstances remains squarely on our shoulders. We have to change our thoughts about how freedom is possible to attain. Then change our actions. Many of us know about completing our sentence as a way to freedom or an appeal, post-conviction, petition, or parole. We have to amend this paradigm to include the collective actions that we take as a unified body to bring about freedom as well. There is no escaping the fact that we as a body constitute a significant sector of the economic pie chart that funds and fuels mass incarceration and prison slavery. For purposes of this call for a nationwide boycott campaign, we have identified four sectors of the prison industrial complex that serve as some of the main economic drivers for prison budgets, which generate billions of dollars annually to fund prison operations. One, collect phone calls. 2, canteen store and snack lines. 3, incentive packages and purchases. And 4, vending, visitation vending and electronic visiting. Because they can pay to see over the phone an actual video conference versus just like we do on some of our cell phones. They can do that behind enemy lines now, but it costs. It's a service. And there's somebody making a profit off of that. The collect phone call industry is by far the next most explosive, the most exploitative monopoly of the 4 enterprises. I don't want to speculate on the amount of money we spend nationwide on phone calls other than to say that this figure has to be in the billions of dollars. The prison companies contract with the phone companies to carry out this extortion scheme through legal kickback schemes. We are locked up in these closed environments. If we want to maintain contact with our families, we have to pay a ransom to the phone company. The prison system charges the phone company a cut kickback for being able to set up shop inside the prison. The prison system's cut or kickback percentage, part of the overall operations budget, used to pay salaries, buy equipment, pay for water, electricity, etc. So not only is our slave labor being used, but also our financial contributions are helping to keep this empire running. Therefore, we have to boycott these ventures to help defund prison operation budget. Just as easily as a habeas corpus or appeal can free you, so too can you gain your freedom if a Department of Corrections has to close down prisons due to insufficient funds in their budget to fund operations. The fact that these industries generate billions, and I keep saying billions intentionally that way, billions, not millions, but billions of dollars each year merely attest to the enormous power that our families have over the U.S. prison operations. Every time they reject a collect call, they empower themselves by sending a message to the phone company that they will no longer assist in funding prison operation costs. For those of us on the inside, when we stop picking up those phones, we send the message that we are ready to talk to our families at home, in the living room, and on the porch. These conversations are free and priceless. The distinctively unique feature about the prison monopolies, as I stated before, is that as incarcerated and enslaved people, we are the only consumers. This makes it clear without any doubt that as much as organizations and groups grapple and fight with the FCC and the phone companies over prices, the power to affect change, immediate change, lies exclusively in our hands alone. And always keep in mind that while it may cost $5, $10, or $20 to make a call, it doesn't cost a penny to boycott for a month, casting a worldwide net. Many of the owners of these cottage industry companies are former corrections officials. They either own the companies outright or are major investors. Others are family members, business associates, or political contributors. So boycotting incentive package companies, Union Supply, for example, has ripple effects on many balance sheets. In addition, the employees of these companies feel the heat from participating in this evil industry. There's plenty of pain pent up and caged inside these prisons, and we need to redistribute the pain in 2018 so that others can feel its intensity. It says, beginning February 1st, 2018, when the campaign kicks off, I recommend that we invest approximately 25% of whatever we save into a fund to purchase books, stamps, newspaper subscriptions, and other office supplies to help print material, all to support the campaign. IWOC has initiated their main body $1,000 for book purchases. Free Alabama Movement is contributing $750 to t-shirts plus $250 to help purchase ink. If you have a submission for a t-shirt design, please send it to the Free Alabama Movement, P.O. Box 186, New Market, Alabama 3-5-7-6-1 or email redistributethepain@gmail.com. If we choose your design, you'll win $50 for books or newspaper subscription, tuition, payment, or other educational need. And I would like to assume that by the wording of it, that this is being offered to the brothers who are behind enemy lines, more so than us out here in society, because we have access to a lot. But it would be awesome to get this T-shirt designed from someone who is incarcerated. So please keep that in mind. Again, the address for the Free Alabama Movement is P.O. Box 186, New Market, Alabama, 35761, or you can email redistributethepain@gmail.com. It says, okay, so it goes into the book of the month from there. So, yeah, I mean, this is one of the things that's happening in the community, one of the things that is a hot topic in our community. Again, the web for Redistribute the Pain is redistributethepain.wordpress.com, /wordpress.com, and you will find it. You will also see intricate details on how you can get involved. You also can reach out to me, again, phone number 513-913-2691, and we need you. And again, if you have any family members who are behind enemy lines, please reach out to them and let them know that they're still loved and they're still thought about and that they still are a part of the communal family and, of course, your family related by blood. So I'm going to go ahead and open up the line. Greetings. Welcome to Sign of the Times. Who are we speaking with?
Greetings, Queen. I didn't know if you didn't say the last four digits of the number. I wasn't sure if you were talking to me or not. Brother Ted, yes.
Greetings, yes, Brother Ted. Yes. How are you doing this evening? Good to hear your
finding
voice.
Finding yourself. Yes, finding yourself.
I'm fine. And I'm fine.
Yes, yes, you are. Yes, you are. Absolutely, without question. my Aunt Pam and her son, because I haven't really talked to too many people that have been incarcerated in quite some time. But, these calls ain't no joke. I mean, not just the calls, but you can no longer send. You can't just go to the store and buy tennis shoes and send them in no more. You got a catalog you got to order out. This is the privatization of prisons. I don't know about any place else, but in Ohio, yeah, it's a multi-billion-dollar operation. Because I mean, you got to figure that they're getting a break on the shoes and they're buying them whole. So it's only so many different kind of shoes you can get, and they're getting a cut on all before the inmates get to touch them. It's a scam. I mean, the food, the money, the whatever. You know what I'm saying? Extra underwear, phone calls, and now they have these video chats. Yeah, this is slavery. This is far more powerful than the slavery from 300 years ago, because they making money hand over foot. And there's no jealousy. You know what I'm saying? You don't got the North worried about, oh, we need to free these slaves because the South making too much money, because they all getting paid.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's getting paid. The traveling, you know what I'm saying? And I just about know there's not one of these services that are owned by anybody that looks anything like us.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Michael Jordan might have his hand in a little something, but other than that, that's about it. It's crazy.
Well, you know what, Brother Ted? I don't know now, because, I mean, just like Jordan has his hand in it, right? There are several people who have their hand in it, but they're at an arm's length distance through these LLCs that they create. Through these made-up for-profit businesses. Some of them put the businesses in their wives' names, children's names. Brother Will talked about that with these buying the debt, you know, situations. So I think, to be honest, like, especially when our brothers and sisters who are well-to-do trust other people who do not look like us and do look like us to do their financial accountability for them, their financial planning and investments and things like that. I bet you half of them don't even know what they have been invested in. I heard that 50 Cent had like a $5 million house that he was still paying taxes on that he thought he had already sold. Now, if that don't tell you how much money actually flows in and throughout this community of mainstream, especially, I guess, hip-hop artists, sports and entertainment. I mean, that says a lot. So yeah, I think a lot more of them are involved than we even have a clue of.
Yeah, but my thing is, if in my perfect world, if I did have something like that, it would go back into something for these brothers when they come home.
Yeah.
You know, so some of that money, most of those props, like you said, they're making money. Slavery. I mean, like I said, I'm very familiar with what it's like to make 13 cents an hour.
Hmm.
Yeah, at the end of the month, to get a check for $23.
Wow. So is the issue, because this is something that we've debated over the past, since I got involved in the freedom movement, is this issue with the wages, right? Let me ask you this hypothetically. If you were making the minimum wage while you were incarcerated, would it have made your life better? Or would you have preferred your freedom?
Give me my freedom. Hey, when I left that place, bear with me for a second. When my people came to pick me up, I got completely nude in the parking lot. I didn't want nothing that they had. I had my boys take me to a hotel in Columbus. I left Lancaster so I can get a shower before I went home. I wanted all of that stuff off me. Heck no. They could have told me, hey, Brother Ted, that we're going to pay you $22 an hour. Well, why are you doing your time just because you're so cool? No, let me go. Send me back home to my son and my woman. I don't want to be here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And see, there are people who think that that's an argument, like that's a legitimate argument. Like, even though we know that our brothers and sisters are getting their face ripped off, you know, increasing the wage is not going to change the circumstances.
Now, if you got somebody that's doing 50, 60 years and they ain't never coming home, that might make a difference to them. But if they don't have anybody send them anything from the outside, it will make a tremendous difference. You know, but the only thing you can buy is tennis shoes and food and a Walkman every now and then. Well, what else? I mean, some cigarettes for me, which you shouldn't be able to buy. Didn't they ban smoking?
You're still smoking there. That's part of the problem. Still smoking in a lot of the cells. Some of them you can't, but most of them you can still smoke.
Yeah, minimum wage, $20 an hour, no. Get me back to the crib.
Wow, yeah. To argue the wage issue is not going to do anything by the fact that, for example, in the state of Ohio, the state of Ohio has guaranteed these private investors who have bought the private prison industry a 90% occupancy rate in the state. You know, so what do you think about that, and where do you think they're going to get those people from?
Right in our neighborhoods. Child support, traffic ticket, marijuana charges, you know what I mean, all sorts of stuff. And Ohio just got, didn't Ohio get sued last year for not honoring that contract?
Oh, yeah, they threaten to sue them. Every chance they get, they threaten to sue them. I don't know if they actually went through with it, but I did hear that.
They probably just increased the number of arrests.
Exactly, and extended sentences. And that's the issue that a lot of our brothers, especially in Toledo Correctional, because I talk to them all the time, not only do we have brothers who are being targeted, like this one brother should not be in regular population. He should be on a medical floor because of the medication and things like that that he takes. But part of their harassing towards him and making his life miserable is the fact that they won't let him leave his cell without having two officers, and he's already cuffed and shackled. Two officers escort him. And it's just those kinds of things. Like, it might seem incidental, like, from to people who aren't aware or people who don't have, like, any sympathy or empathy necessarily for those who have mental challenges. But something like that can get on a person's nerves, especially when they know that that's one of the things that is his trigger. And so continuously, like, we've got brothers, for example, Brother Chaz Bunch, the first juvenile lifer convicted in the state of Ohio at the age of 16. We're looking at his case as well. And they do him the same way. He could he could be minding his own business in general population, and they'll just come in, strip his cell, and take him to isolation for no reason, no provocation, no, well, we got an incident report about you, none of that. Like, they'll just snatch him up because they know that he's been working proactively to have his case reheard. I do believe that Chaz is innocent, and I know for a fact that the other case I mentioned, this brother, like I said, shouldn't even be in general population simply because he needed medical help. He didn't necessarily need incarcerated and punished the way they have. So, you know, so once our brothers and sisters become what we've become familiar with, known as property of the state, they literally mean that. The state is not playing. They literally treat these brothers and sisters exactly just like chattel property. And with that, I yield.
Yes, absolutely. And it's going and it's getting worse. You know, they introduced a couple new ideas. I mean, now you can, some inmates, if you don't have any offense against any children or rape charge, anything like that, any stuff like that, you can video chat. And I forget how much Auntie Pam said that cost, but yeah, I don't want none of that.
Mm-hmm.
And if anything, all that should be free, or regular long distance, regular long distance rates. They still would make a ton of money. You know what I'm saying? I mean, just give all these brothers a cell phone and let Verizon get the money.
Yeah, it's all kind of companies being cropped up every day just to keep money circulating amongst themselves. So if they see a need for something, say if they see a need for socks that are made a certain way, they will either invest in somebody that is making those socks that looks like them or start a business that looks like them. Why do you think our people won't invest in us the way we need them to? Or why won't we invest in ourselves the way we need to, even if it's only time and resources and access to resources or even space?
Are you asking a question? Was that a rhetorical question?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm asking you a question.
Oh, too many distractions. Too many distractions. And we're born consumers, bred consumers. You know what I mean? It's no different than the contract that are available through the public school system for people to be able to contract these schools on the toilet paper, all the everything in the school, from the food, everything. But you know, myself included, I've never even given it a second. I'm not gonna say I haven't given it a second thought, but I haven't done any investigative work to see how I could possibly get one of those contracts. I sure have.
Yeah.
Because just as sure you get to thinking about something like that, here's something else that's a little bit more pressing. And back down the rabbit hole. But these are definitely things that need to be addressed, because we have the ability to change everything with, like I said, investing in ourselves and saying no to a lot of shit. No, I don't want your Prada this. No, I don't want your Nike this. Or I'm buying it secondhand or whatever the case may be, or the hand-me-down system. I can't tell you how many pairs of tennis shoes I had as a kid that one of my cousins or one of my nephews or nieces had, not nieces, but one of my nephews had and passed down to me. We shame that now because we're so heavily ingrained into this program that we've been prepped for and is being fed to us with cheese and seasoning, salt, and everything else is bad for us, and we love it. We love it. To the point where you can't even get nobody to cut your neighbor's yard or shovel some snow.
Wow.
Because we don't talk to our children about this, so they grow up not knowing. By the time somebody does talk to them about it, it's beneath them to cut somebody's grass. You need bus fare, but it's beneath you to cut somebody's grass or shovel somebody's snow or walk somebody's dog or go check up on somebody or run to the store. We've been bred out of investing in ourselves because everything else is ready-made. So don't worry about growing no fruit. All these got a sale. And true enough, yes, they may have a sale, but nothing better than taking a seed you can get a pack of seeds for $2 as you know something for the price you're going to pay for something right there. I mean, trying to keep my blood pressure down, Queen, but yeah. And with that, I yield. But, yeah, no, I don't yield. We need to start investing in ourselves. And as a matter of fact, spearhead something. I told you, our women, you all are the creators of all of this. I mean, not all of the drama, but life itself. Spearhead something. I told you, I'm down like 4 flat tires. I just need something to do.
I'm sure.
Other than going to work.
The Africana Melanated Womenism conferences that are coming up, first one being in Atlanta the end of March. And in doing that, I stress this over and over again, like not that we are helpless, but we're going to need a certain amount of brothers that we know that we can rely on, especially when we're traveling. So if any brothers are interested in stepping forth and making sure that we sisters have what we need while we're traveling. You want to help organize around us and around and with us and as we build this movement, please, reach out to me on social media, Queen Gore Tahira on Instagram, at Queen Tahira on Twitter, and Queen Tahira on Facebook, and let us know like that we can rely on you because we're going to need to. And I'm not going to allow my sisters to get in a situation to where we were caught unprepared, or just waiting on someone to just simply step forward on their own virility to help us. Like we need to be proactive and not reactive. And that's another issue that we have in the community. So again, if any brothers want to step up, give me your phone numbers, even if you don't want to come on the air or whatever and let it be known, reach out to me directly because we definitely are going to need the brothers to have our backs, especially when we start traveling. I don't know where this whole situation with so many black girls that were coming up missing, if that has subsided or if it just has subsided out of mainstream media, but just because of the political environment that we're in, we need as many strong brothers to have and to be by our side as we possibly can get. So, again, my phone number is 513-913-2691, 513-913-2691. Again, please reach out to me because we're going to need your assistance. And so with that being said, one of the things that Brother Hannibal spoke about in the Redistribute the Pain article is the need for folks to boycott for 30 days, and even February being the shortest month of the year, if you will, to kick this thing off, to not go to the canteen, not to have a long distance phone calls on the services and things like that, not to participate in any extracurricular activities that aren't beyond necessity. But one of the things that make boycotting the canteen and such difficult is that, like you said, we can't simply prepare food boxes anymore and send them up the way. You have to go through their process now. You have to go to their canteen now. You have to shop in their stores now. Brother Ted, if you were, you know, if you were one of these brothers who had to make a choice to boycott, do you think that the environment is right for our brothers and sisters to take up on that mission, or because of the environment anyway, do you think it would be too difficult for them to fast, if you will, from these things for a month?
I don't think it could be done cold turkey. Everything in moderation, you know, and more importantly, like I said, if the brothers behind bars were unified, so when it's time to make a break or whatever the case may be, or it's time for some coffee, whatever's going to go down, divvy that stuff up evenly, you know what I'm saying? I mean, so everybody can eat. And slowly but surely, they could wean back. You know, because it's a natural fact about the human body. Your stomach, I mean, before it starts expanding, the size of your hand, that's about as much food as you really need to sustain yourself. And anything else is straight up greed. Unifying and just weaning off slow. I said slow turkey. It can't be done cold turkey, but just weaning off gradually. Yes, and it could shut that all the way down. But the thing is, like you said, they're still inside, and that's hurting somebody's pocket. So then the wrath comes back on these brothers. Once again, they're unified. That there's nothing they can do with us. Nothing. Nothing. The brothers in Lucasville proved that.
Ashe. Yeah, and they're still paying the cost for it, too.
Yeah.
Iman Hassan is a part of the Free Ohio Movement, actually one of its key trustees and initiators of the Free Ohio Movement, along with King Bati and Brother Hannibal and Brother Kinetic and, you know, several other, like, core revolutionary-minded brothers. And the thing about these types of movements is that, you're right, they can, because of the captive nature of our brothers and sisters, they can choose to punish them in ways that we won't find out until often after the fact. But I can say that these protests, if you will, they do work. It may take for it to have a ripple effect, as Brother Hannibal said in the article. You know, that's all we're looking for initially, is to continue to have that ripple effect, so that definitely by the time Black August gets here, and, you know, we've got September the 9th, which is the Attica anniversary. We could even choose to recognize the Lucasville uprising, which is around Easter. So, you know, there's all kinds of things that we could do to show these brothers and sisters that we support them. Do you think if we took some action on the outside first, that that might have some influence on their willingness, I guess, to take some action on their own behalf?
Absolutely, absolutely. Because I mean, most of the brothers locked up don't have a support system. They don't have a lifeline. You know, I mean, it's just one of those things. I didn't understand when people wanted to read my letters. I'm like, let me read my letter. And if you hadn't gotten the letter in a year's time, just to have, I mean, yeah, people were literally, and people were selling letters. Yeah. You know what? Yes, I think it would be very effective. I mean, because that whole environment, that atmosphere is, because first of all, that many men are not supposed to be together, but that, no.
That's, yeah, that in and of itself is inhumane.
Yeah, I mean, and yeah. But yeah, I do think it would work. And once again, like I've always said before, if our sisters get behind anything, and more importantly than anything that's being sent in or anything, if we had a core group of sisters that could be somewhere in a peaceful setting and they were setting intentions and meditating and things like that, shit would start changing that moment, because a thought is the most powerful thing that we have. And that electromagnetic pulse that's sent out from that heart chakra, things start to change. I mean, but like I said, it's hard to get us to unify on anything unless it's going to watch a basketball game or going somewhere to have some cocktails. We don't love each other enough. Currently, there's not enough of us to love each other enough to get this done. But I'm all for doing whatever, trying whatever to get it done. But once again, the core of it all lies with the creatress and her soldiers. Because when the queen bee is right and she sends out that right frequency, the worker bees is bringing that honey back, baby. The hive is jumping. If there's any chaos with her, the signal's off. The worker bees are, oh, yeah, we going to branch off and start our own male hive. And you bring it back to honey, but it ain't gonna be what it's supposed to be without that divine feminine energy. And I love my sisters, man. I mean, we gotta respect that. We gotta respect it and work with it.
But
the signal, the frequency has to be right.
So as we build this movement, Brother Ted, with the sisters and the womanist movement, what suggestions do you have for us as sisters to get more men involved? Because the energy is collecting. We couldn't have even had the conversation with Dr. Weems, and she's been, on call pretty much ever since then. We've had a couple of telephone conferences, collecting sisters all the way from California to Atlanta. And it's our goal to continue to grow and connect the dots and build the bridges, if you will. So what kind of conversations do we need to be having with our brothers, and what kind of conversations do the brothers need to be having amongst themselves?
First of all, I'll say this. I mean, if you all want anything done, let's not play games about how it gets done. We are attracted to the energy you put out. The sound of your voice, the smile, the fragrance, the pheromones that come off your bodies. And it doesn't always have to be sexual. But if sex is involved in this healthy fashion of manipulation, intentions need to be set. Alignment has to happen because you can't do anything outside the laws of nature, because there's going to be chaos and it's going to fail. That's what brother men are simple creatures. Everything you see a brother do, when you see that brother roll down the street in them 42-inch rims and that music you can hear from six blocks away, he didn't do that to impress another man, and he damn sure didn't do it to himself because he's going deaf. He's doing it because a sister somewhere likes that. He's trying to impress her, just like in nature. The baboon with the brightest butt, that's how he gets chose. Change the method on how these brothers get chosen and the method these brothers imply will change as well. And the brothers got to start loving each other. You know what I mean? And it's just as simple as that. Nature has to be in alignment. I mean, like you said, you can judge a nation of people by the condition of the women, that's never changed. And that's always going to be the truth. You look at the world today, how messed up it is across the globe. All you got to do is look at the condition of the women of color around the world. And you'll see why shit is fucked up. They're not getting the respect and the reverence they deserve. Even though they created all of this stuff, all this greatness, they're being disrespected. They've been put on the back burner. And anybody on this call knows that there's nothing in my 20s, I worked in bars, and I found out real quick, breaking up a fight between two or three, four or five dudes, okay. Breaking up a squabble involving some women, you got some problems on your hands, because an angry woman is going to make you think twice about, yeah, so, and people, yes, that energy just needs to be harnessed correctly. And once that's done, like I said, then the hive begins to flourish again. And as far as our brothers are concerned, we have to begin to love each other. You know, so to be able to take that time to hold a door open for your brother when you see him coming. If for no other reason, to hold the door open for him and tell him, if I can't hold the door open for my brother, who can I hold it open for? I need you to have my back. And make no mistake, random conversations. Brother, do you know we're at war? Instead of talking to his brother about how fat that ass was walking about, I said, have you checked your blood pressure, my brother? Hypertension is killing us. Have you checked your blood pressure? How you feeling today, my man? I love you. I mean, can I help? I mean, I gave a dude $100 bill the other day. I mean, because he's a single father. I don't know what the situation is with the mother. But being a single father and working at a phone store and paying rent, I know it's rough. You don't got to tell me. So he was questioning, why are you giving me this? I didn't say because you know I need. Because I know. I said because you're my brother and I love you.
I say. It's very interesting that you would bring up the fact that us showing care and concern and love for one another doesn't necessarily have to equate sexualization of the relationship, because that's one of the things Brother Akaya and I had talked about having as a topic, is the fact that brothers and sisters need to be able to get along and build and love one another without there being that constant, I guess, sexual tension, if you will, simply because that's the way we've been conditioned to be. And to me, that's part of the reason why, one, that I would even have to ask for a certain amount of protection from my brother, because it's hard to be in the company of men without them looking at us as women in a sexual nature first. And I'm just being honest. And so that is something that we need to work on, is building our overall communal relationships with one another and making it okay to love each other in a brotherly and sisterly manner without that, you know, we've been bombarded with it, that sexualization of our relationships. So hold tight. Anybody that is listening on your phone, you can push 1 to come into queue. If you're listening on your computer, you can dial in at 917-889-8059. I'm going to go ahead and open up King.T. Welcome, my beloved brother. How are you?
Greetings, divine greetings, queen. How are you doing? I'm great.
Ashe, I'm good.
Likewise. Brother Ted, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing good, my brother. How you doing?
I'm great, brother. Divine greetings, man. It's always an honor, brother, to be in you all's presence. You know, it's like, I don't know, it's empowering, for real, it's strengthening. I mean, listening to you just build on the truth. You know, it's so just, man, I tell you, it means so much because, you know, when you're speaking on the situation concerning the brothers and sisters behind enemy lines, and I'm just sitting here reflecting, and because I just came off that plantation like in September, and it's like it's a monopoly, you know, and but they almost force you. If you don't have a knowledge of self, they will force you you know, to pay for your own incarceration, to contribute to it, because you're not in your right state of mind. And, like, there's this company called Access, and you have to order everything from them. I'm talking your food packages that used to come from your mother's and your family, your wife's home. They cut all of that out in Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And everything that you get, it comes from this company called Access. And I'm talking the phone calls, your shoe packages, you know, which is, like you said, they're limited. You know, everything, your hygiene package, everything comes from this one company that they made this deal with, this contract with. And this is where you have to get it from, or, you know, you have to go without. And the food that they serve you, man, is so, like, you have to close your eyes and eat it. And, you know, to really, you know, without a knowledge of self, I tell you, man, it's real devastating. They break our people down so much to the point to where, I mean, they're in a session, like, you got, like, showers, and it's like, maybe he went to the store. It's like you get in the shower, and it's like four or five showers there. Okay, but just one shower had this pipe running like down the middle of it, with like, you got four men standing in the shower at this one particular shower now. Four men, butt ass naked, though, standing there in the shower, where you have to turn your backs to each other. And at the same time, you got to be on point, and I tell you, it's crazy. You know, you got dudes coming in, little young dudes, probably ain't even 18 years old, just barely 18, telling this grown man, catch a rat. You know what I'm saying? Like, count time. Like, yeah, we got to count our stop. You know what I mean? And that is so humiliating, to stand up and have to be still. And then we got to count. And they walk down, literally, and they pointing at you, walking down the aisles. And it's just like, man, so definitely on the outside, it's going to take that love and support. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we have to take that step and just really initiate it so that they can see it and follow, because they'll feed off of it. But it's like on the inside, they've been torn down so much. I mean, dudes like, well, literally, if they do receive something of a package or whatever, someone give them something, I mean, they'll turn around and sell it for like a cigarette or coffee. I mean, dudes sell their shoes for some cigarettes or coffee. They walk around with state shower slides on all day. You know, I'm talking about, I've seen dudes smoke cigarette butts off the ground, just walk around the prison compound picking cigarettes up off the ground just to smoke. You know, and the other ones, the system is, they open the gates up and just flood it with narcotics now. And now you got the youth, like 16, 17 years old, everybody, they strung out on heroin in Alabama. They strung out on ice. They strung out on crystal meth. They banging the needle. I'm talking about stuff that I just had no clue that a young person would do, a black person. You know what I'm saying? And it's crazy, like, and now they just fiend out. And when you talk about shutdown, it's a struggle because their bodies have come so conditioned to this poison. And it's like, not to, for them to get a dose of it, that's another war that you have to fight. And possibly, you know, you run the risk of having to defend yourself against someone who you're trying to save their life. And it's so just crazy the way they come in, and it's just, man, the way that they make it, billions of dollars, like the brother said, billions, you know, at Holman, the tag plant, like $350 million a year just printing tags. And the highest pay might be like 53 cents. That's, you know, he's got to be been there 20-some years to be making 53 cents at the end of the month. You know, he's probably getting his $50 or whatever. Then somebody trying to rob him for that, or he didn't credit it out so much that, you know, when it comes, it's already gone. And they depended on it, and they don't have any family support, most of those guys. And I'm telling you, it's crazy the way that they charge these outrageous prices, you know. And I tell you, man, it's difficult. It's difficult up in there. And just listening to you all build on that, and like, yeah, these people, man, they understand that this is a major profit. And, you know, and you getting over sentence for that petty shit. You know, so I was in the county jail. I know I went back in the county jail like a few years ago on one of my cases that I was working on. And there were some young black brothers in there. And these were first-time offenders. And these young brothers, like, 18. And none of them had nothing less than a quarter. None of them. And then I was in there, and I saw these, like, little young white guys. And so I'm looking at their paperwork. I'm like, let me see y'all's paperwork. So I look at the young white guys' paperwork. These white guys, young now, but still, they got, like, 5 felonies. And they have never seen the penitentiary. They steady going to fucking rehab. They got robberies and all kind of crazy shit that we getting fucking life for. And so I sit the young black brothers down. I said, man, I want y'all to listen to this shit, and I want y'all to check this out. So I gather them down. I cut the fucking TV. I'm like, look. I'm like, how many times you done been down? He's like, none. No felonies. 25, life, 40, 50 damn years. This dude got 4 or 5 fucking felonies, man. He about to go back to a rehab. He done been there 4 times already. And then they wondering what the fuck going on and acting like it's just us doing this shit. Nah, we just the ones who getting punished for that shit.
Yeah.
And that shit is ridiculous. That's just outright just plain old-fashioned slavery. Ain't no other way to put that shit. They still got farm squads in Alabama. Well, you go out on the farm. You know what I'm saying? I mean, and then if you don't want to go out, they don't write you a disciplinary, and they call that shit refusing to work, refusing to obey a direct order and all that bullshit. I'm like, what? Ain't no motherfucker going out on no farm. Like, you don't keep writing me up every motherfucking day. I don't give no fuck about it. You ain't going to pay me 15 cents to do shit. I'm like, who the hell works for 15 damn cents? That's crazy. Who the fuck does that?
And don't they take out the fees
for that shit?
Don't they take out the fees and stuff before you even see your check? If you owe for like a bracelet or if something,
yes, ID,
anything,
yes,
yeah,
oh yeah, yeah, wristbands. They charge you for wristbands. They charge you for
doctor's visit.
Yeah, doctor's visit. $4 for a doctor's visit. If you don't go, it's $20 if you miss your appointment. I'm like, what? I'm talking about stuff that the taxpayers have already paid for. You being a part of the state Department of Corrections, that's already paid for by the taxpayers, and yet you having to pay for it on the inside. You're not supporting yourself. Any money that they send you in the state of Alabama comes from your family. That's considered a gift. It can't be taxed, but they taxing the hell out of it. They taking it. They'll freeze your account up, and any money that comes through, they getting theirs off the top.
Damn.
They don't give a damn if you eat or not. They getting theirs off the top. Just like that. They taking theirs. It's crazy. It's crazy. We definitely got to do something. I'm talking about it's going down. Like the brother said, it's a war, you know, and it's one that they keep in very, concealed from the people. Like, our people are just not really aware that this shit is actually going on until the level and magnitude that is actually going on. Until you actually, like, get on the inside and see that shit. That shit, like, real-life slavery. And I remember just sitting up in there, and just everything, once you become conscious, you just, it's like, oh, hell no. You just not going to accept it. And when I came home, I'm in the shower, and I can remember, like, some people tried to, like, you know, come in there, like, oh, I got to use the bathroom real bad or something. And I can remember a conflict went down because I'm saying, I know they didn't mean anything, but it was like, hell no. Like, I just did that. You know, no. I'm not sharing my damn shower. You know, I don't know if you got to wash it. I don't care. That shit got to wait. You know what I'm saying? You can go outside. I don't give a fuck, but you're not coming here. Yeah, like, I'm not sharing because they didn't beat you down so much with it. Like, absolutely, man, your time becomes, everything becomes so precious. And, like, but then you get, you know, some people get letters, some don't. And you catch somebody who ain't getting no mail, no love, support, no visit or nothing, now all of a sudden you can become a target. just out of pure bitterness, you know, dude's lonely as fuck. All kinds, man, I tell you, if we don't do something, I'm telling you, and guys, you know, they don't come home with that knowledge itself, I mean, the type of individuals that'll be coming home in the mindset they'll be coming home in, junkies and straight up bitter individuals who come out a lot worse than they did when they went in our year.
Mm-hmm. What can we be doing to, one, offer more support? Because, I mean, like you said, and we said earlier, it's rough trying to get through a month of boycotting, considering the conditions are already oppressive. But we've got some time between now and the next month that's called for on the boycott. What can we be doing more on the outside to help the brothers and sisters prepare for that, considering, you know, those conditions?
Well, you know, I know here in the state of Alabama, you know, what we're doing is, you know, we had a what we call the Universal Peace and Unity Movement. And what we did was we just, you know, like united all of the leadership, you know, of all of the different organizations, you know, the street gangs, the religious faiths and all. You know, if you had someone that you were in charge of, you know, a certain amount of people, like we would get them all together. And we did conference calls, and we were bridged, you know, with the outside and just organized around the struggle. And like you said, you know, turn it into a strategy as to what could we do inside and what could be done outside. And that outside support, that was so motivating and encouraging on the inside, and being able just to communicate with someone from the street, you know, in society, like to get outside of those walls and beyond that fence. You know, that was so important that brother was able to bridge. And like the brother said, the sound of a sister's voice on the phone in the conference call, and that was so uplifting to some brothers. I mean, if they didn't come on for nothing else but to listen to the sister's voice, but they were still able to get the message. And so, you know, we were able to unite around that, and that's how we began, you know, to strategize and implement, you know, our plans and strategies and tactics, you know, for the shutdown. So, we're about to start that back up again and just, you know, bridge with the different institutions and bring everybody together. And we even, you know, we bridge with brothers who were all locked up from Georgia on the inside, you know, they were from Mississippi, you know, from Carolina, anywhere that they had cell phones, you know, we linked up with them, you know, and just, you know, build around it. And that's how we were able to come off, you know, with the September the 9th business. You know, and remembering Attica, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, we just got to definitely bridge and open up, you know, the lines. And we got to get these brothers and sisters online and just hear from them, you know what I'm saying? And if they're asleep, we got to wake them up. But, you know, communication is the key. We have to be able to communicate with them, you know, because it doesn't exist unless we make it known. And we have to let them know, you know, that we love them, you know what I'm saying? And that's what's got to be done. We got to let them know that they love. You know, they may not have no family, but, you know, we're all family. We come from that continent. We're all family. We got to let them know that they love.
Ashe. I yield back to you, Brother Ted.
I'm in complete agreement with what my brother just said. I mean, and people don't realize how disenfranchised a man can become, or a sister, when you're behind enemy lines. I don't care how long it is, 30 days, you know what I'm saying? It depends on the individual, because everybody ain't cut for that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, and I think sometimes the weaker individuals are targeted. You know, I mean, and like I said, the communication, the networking, and you know what I'm saying? I mean, The shared phone calls. If you do got to make a phone call, you know what I'm saying? Find out if you can shoot somebody to somebody else to let somebody, so somebody else can get some airtime. Because that pictures from the outside, when the neighborhoods are changing. My homeboy's brother did 28 years. And when he came home, he knew about everything that was going on. So he didn't feel as much as a stranger as other people. Because his parents, anytime something changed in the neighborhood, they was on it. Pictures, conversations about it, visits,
these things make a difference. When you alone, and then you alone on the inside, heaven forbid you done you done borrowed a bunch of money to try to keep up with the Joneses, and the Joneses in the penitentiary is worse than the Joneses on the street. Because at least for the Joneses on the street, you owe them some money, you can kind of hide. Only way you're going to hide in the penitentiary, you check yourself in. And, it's of utter importance that these young men, let me change that, because there's some old brothers in there too. Knowledge of self, knowing that they're loved, and to have that communication is of utter importance. And also what that does is that gives them the ability to start building inside. So maybe instead of three dudes sitting down for a break or three dudes sitting down for a coffee or two dudes, I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's like, okay, well, look, we got to do everything in moderation. We got to pack a new Porsche that got to last us a week, and it's four of us. So, yeah, look, figure it out. But, yeah, I mean, and it's just something. If you got an addiction, let's just say, and the addiction to coffee and sugar and cigarettes is something fucking serious. If you got an addiction to coffee or cigarettes or honey bun or sugar, whatever, and you can't get that puts you in a whole other place. But that whole slave, that crabs in the barrel mentality has to be stopped. But it can't be stopped on the inside unless there's some love from the outside or somebody knows there's something else coming in. You know what I'm saying? I mean, and like I said, more than the sound of a sister's voice and brothers, I mean, and this is a good place for brothers to learn. It shouldn't matter what she looks like anyway. If she loves your ass enough to get on this phone and talk to you and pay for these expensive ass calls and to write your ass letters and to come visit you, that's all you need to come out and be the best man possible for that sister and for yourself. Because once again, like y'all always have done, held us down. You know, but they don't have anybody to talk to them about that when they're locked up. You know what I'm saying? Because all they're thinking about is trying to scam. There are not enough brothers locked up that can provide that information to let you know how valuable your sister is. You know, man, I know women, mothers that have denied themselves their medication because their son needed something in prison and wouldn't nobody else do it. And like the beautiful being that you are, I'm going to make sure my baby got it. And these fathers on the outside that got sons that are locked up need to step it up. I told that dumb motherfucker. Now, you done did time yourself. You didn't want to hear somebody say that about you when you was locked up. You wanted the same thing your son is asking for. You wasn't there for him in the first place. Now he's locked up and don't got nobody, and you still don't want to do nothing for him? Yeah, it's a crazy, crazy, but the algorithm has to be changed, and we have the ability to do that with the inspiration of our sisters. Because like I said, everything we do, if it's sticking a nigga up, whatever the case, it's because of the affection of a woman that has our heart. Now, that may not be the right shit, but if that's what that sister want, and we got the potential to get it done. Because a man will do anything for the right woman. He will change for the right woman. But that frequency, that message has to be right coming from her. Has to be. And, you know, and these dudes, I apologize, my earpiece keeps falling out. And like I said, with the internet access, there are prison debate teams that are eating these punks from Harvard and Yale up. Because we are the most courageous beings this planet has ever seen. So imagine some of these brothers, all you got is time. Some of these brothers with access to the internet, now you have a penny trading stock account where somebody's giving you a couple thousand to invest in a stock. Because you can sit. What you got the time. You ain't going no place. But the last thing they want to do is empower these young men so they can come out and do something with themselves. They want to put them right back. That's why most of the brothers that are in prison are repeat offenders. Because when you leave, there's nothing there for you in most chances. And people, your family, most of them looking at you crazy. Here come Dre. Here come Teddy. He gonna go back to, you know, and you got to have the strength. You're like, okay, that's how you feel. That's fine. And they are able to, they're allowed to have those feelings. But as a man, you gotta be like, okay, well, I don't need that kind of energy. Once again, to boycott that, boycott the negative energy from your family, anybody else. But you need a support system. You need a support system. And it's just not there. There's one thing I'll say, because internally we know we are the coldest. You know what I'm saying? I mean, and that's a gift and a curse. These white boys, on the other hand, they got a support system. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they aren't always the same, but the system in itself is a support system for them. Like the brother said, I mean, all sorts of rehab for this, rehab for that. Oh, he's stressed out. One dude got caught raping a woman behind a garbage dumpster. We can't send him to prison. I think that's going to mess up his life.
Right.
5 years five years probation. Little white boy gets drunk, steals his father's Range Rover, causes an accident, kills 4 people. Oh, he's not going to be used to prison. We can't send him there. It's going to mess up his life. Probation. Until we can figure out something to reset this system, we have to be the system that supports us. And that all starts with our women. We gotta get these brothers to the point where you keep your hands off these sisters, you keep these bad words off these sisters, these evil intentions off her. Because she's the only thing that you got. Like I said, Queen, there wasn't a dollar I made in the streets where I didn't have a connect to these streets that was through a woman that I knew that loved me and cared about me.
I say.
There's a book that I read. I forget the author's name, but the book was called Standing at the Scratch Line. And basically it was just a book about towards the end of slavery, but just the things that the black woman had to go through to win favor for the men in their lives. The ass kissing they had to do to keep that, the crack of that whip off this brother's back. And most brothers don't think about that twice. We've got to get a system of communication better. Like I said, we've got to treat our women better. Because you all are the only ones that ever. I can't think of a dude, and I love my brothers anyway, but there's never been a time where I've been in a serious situation where I've ever been able to pick up the phone without offering some money, where I knew a brother was going to come to my, whether it was giving me a jump in the middle of the night because my battery died or whatever the case may be, or I got too drunk someplace and needed a ride, whatever. It's always been a woman. Always. Even down to my father. And I love that dude, but he was born in 1918. He was on some other shit. My mother, oh my goodness, there was nothing in the world you... Yeah, the shit is serious, man. And we have, of course, we have choices, but the right choice, start treating the black woman right that loves you, and that energy is going to flow back to you because it always has. It's never not worked. You know what I'm saying? So we got to go back to the things that work. You know, people always trying to figure out a new way to reinvent the fucking wheel. Our sisters have always been the climax for everything we've ever done. And somehow or another, this patriarchal system of thinking
has gotten us away from that, and some brothers really think they can do without them. Oh, fuck that, I get me a new bitch. Oh, man, please, wait a minute. Let's throw that those negative terms out the way and just treat her right or treat these women right, and it's going to continue to happen for you. But ego gets in the way. We're lost. I mean, it's one of those things. One thing my father used to tell me all the time, he would say, son, elimination for elevation to reach your destination. You got to cut some stuff out to build yourself up or to build your thing up to rise to the top. But we're creatures of habit. We don't want to stop doing the things we want to do to leave room for new growth. And it's serious. It's more serious now than it ever has been because of the internet. Just like we have the internet to receive information, everybody else has the internet the same way. These white supremacist groups are all over the internet, whether with sheriffs, judges, prosecutors.
Uh-oh. Sorry, everybody. Brother Ted has fallen off. But we're past the top of the hour, so this is a good time to take our break. You're listening to Sign of the Times Blog Talk Radio, brought to you by New Power Radio Network and the UAC, the United African Coalition for Justice and Human Rights.
Death is a multi-billion-dollar industry. The cemeteries are full of people who've passed from a preventative illness. With the correct approach, you not only extend your chances of preserving your life, but you will improve the quality of your life with a natural approach. The earth provides energy healing herbs for the benefit of mankind.
Hello, I'm Amira Sankofa Kwali here at Ask Life Coaching Ministry. We're located at 1921 West Broadway. We've been in the healing business for over 20 years. To order my products, go to www.ask314life.com. I'm available 7 days a week from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Namaste.
Welcome to the Sign of the Times family, to Amira Sankofa Kwali. You can reach her at area code 502-208-9142.
Hello, my name is Dr. James Thomas Jones III, and I am the author of an exciting new book titled Obruni, an African-American Odyssey Home. Most African-Americans have some desire to discover where they are originally from. Obruni is the story of my personal journey to find my ancestral home. Through a host of twists and turns, I must relate that I was able to have many of my most pressing questions regarding who I am and where I come from answered by some of the least likely sources. In fact, I was able to discover some surprising things during my trip to Ghana. If such things interest you, please support A Black Writer and visit Amazon.com and pick up your copy of Obruni, an African-American Odyssey Home, today. Thank you.
I'm not racist, and I never lie, but I think it's a disconnect between your culture and mine. I worship the Einsteins, studied to Steve Jobs, but you ride Tupac's dick like he was a fucking god. Oh my god! And all you care about is rapping and stunting and being ratchet, and that's the nigga within you. Music rotting your brain and slowly start to convince you. Then you let your kids listen, and then the cycle continues. Blame it all on the menu, blame it on those drinks, blame it on everybody except for your own race. Blame it on white privileges, blame it on white kids, and just blame it on white citizens. Aim at the vice president. Watch your class clown. Niggas kneeling on the field, that's a flag down. How dare you try to make demands for this money? You gon' show us some respect, you gon' stand for this country, nigger, nigger, nigger.
I'm not racist, I'm not racist.
You're not racist, you just say nigga a lot. Say that around me, white boy, get shot. I don't give a fuck if your whole ass ask your cop. If your pig traffic stops, then boy will get popped. I'm not racist, white's not even a race. It's just a waste of subconscious space. You can't even season your greens, you got no taste. If black took the land you stole, then you got no place. I'm not racist, When has America been great? Talking Donald Trump, best get out my face. You don't see color, now you don't see race. I bet you see this black hand slap you dead in the face. I'm not racist. Pink people in denial, cause most white men make up the pedophiles, make up the welfare queens, make up the human vile. Yes, I'm talking to you, cracker Brad, Jenny, and Kyle. Get drunk and dash Bentley, and all you do is smile. While Tamir Rice been shot, he was only a child. You mayonnaise monsters so phony and vile. You take black paint and make it only a style. Blame it on fake news, blame it on black dudes, blame it on everybody that doesn't resemble you. Blame it on the economy, blame it not all on poverty, but you won't tell the truth that you're the true minority. And you have no real authority, no soul, no seniority. And all the police beatings on the TV screens only highlights your inferiority. I'm not racist, I'm a black identity terrorist, and you're part of the revolution if you're hearing this. You don't know a black man embraces fearlessness? Hold up, hold up, hold up, hold up. I don't care how many black people you know. You don't know any black man that's like the shit out you don't. I don't care if your skin just as white as snow. If I tell you to move, you better get up and go. I'm not racist. Nah, not even a little bit. Y'all crackers is so inconsiderate. I see you talking, but all I hear is gibberish. If I see you in the building, I'm burning it down with you in it. Palmetto Star. The revolution will not be televised. Too raw for TV. Black supremacy.
And that's when he dies at the end. Welcome back to Sign of the Times, everybody. This is Queen Tahira. I want to thank you all for the energy that you provide to Sign of the Times on Tuesday through Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. For going on 5 years now. We definitely could not do this without you, and we look forward to continuing to have these types of dialogues that do turn the struggle into a strategy. I'm going to get ready to close out for the evening, so if you have anything that you would like to contribute before we go, you can push the number one, and I will bring you back into queue. But I just wanted to play this again real quick. I played it earlier in the week, and it's a piece by Brother Malcolm. And he's speaking specifically on the differences between civil rights and human rights, and the fact that one of the things that he makes it clear that was difficult for him to learn and to accept is that we have been duped into believing that we are and were anything other than indigenous people to not only this country, but to the world. And once he found certain things out on human rights, the fact that there are treaties that the United States still continues to violate, we've got the Mandela rules that if any brother and sister, sorry, y'all, this is the grandbaby, any brother and sister who is behind enemy lines, their family, loved ones, and friends, was to read and go through, look at the Mandela rules and look out how much violation on a day-to-day basis is going on behind the prison system and in the prison system. And unfortunately, you know, although it's been said that we are innocent until proven guilty, once these people shackle you, once they take you, and I learned this based on the trumped up delinquency charges that Cincinnati Public Schools placed against my children. And I got no help from the legal aid. And, you know, it was just a mess. You could tell it was just an intricately woven system that was those charges were initiated because I filed a complaint with the state against the school. And it just and that was their way of getting back at me. And not too long after then was the big clusterfuck of the election of Tracy Hunter, the first black woman to would have been taken the seat over the juvenile court. They refused to allow her seat. There was an investigation in the elections. And when all of that was going on, all of a sudden at the same time, the juvenile court building was flooded. And they lost years and decades of records and, you know, were forced to move. And, you know, it was just a mess. And when certain things happen, like, sure, if you don't have any clue as to how deceptive and tricky and backstabbing and oppressive the system actually is and can be. Challenge them when they think that they have some power over you and see don't certain things start to take place. And you'll wonder what the fuck is going on. You know, what did I do? You know, and that's what I did initially. Like, I internalized it because I had never experienced anything like this in my life. I internalized it. Like, what did I do wrong? Like, why, you know, am I a bad person? Like, why is this evil happening to me? Like, and to a certain extent, I had to accept the fact that this system existed way before I came along and way before I was even thought of. And when I was in a twinkle, not only in my parents' eye, but even in my grandparents' eye, this system existed. So these things are put in place to continue to hold us back. And we could be doing everything right. You know, we could be feeding the children as I was, giving away clothes and shoes as I was, providing bus fare for families when they didn't have it as I was, food for families as I was, and so on and so on, and just being there as a safe place, not only when the children needed me, but when some of the adults did too, you know. And so instead of being rewarded, I was punished, and the very people that looked like me in the city were the ones that just twisted their lips and shook their heads, and that's when, you know, it affirmed that he needed some outside support. And I just wanted the brothers and sisters to know that who are behind enemy lines, that is a part of the reason, the biggest reason why I do what I do on a day-to-day basis. And I know for some people they think I don't sleep, but I do occasionally. This is why I do what I do, is because I know how it feels to be in a position of needing help and being innocent of certain things and not understanding why certain things are the way they are, and then there not being that assistance there to help you. So always notice that I'm going to do everything and anything I possibly can to keep this movement going, to keep our brothers and sisters uplifted as much as possible. And when we need to get down and dirty, I'm prepared to do that too. So always know that Queen Tahira, I'm going to always have y'all back. I'm going to always have y'all back. So I'm going to play this brief clip by Malcolm. And if no one pushes one to come in the queue, I'm going to go ahead and wrap up for the week a little bit early tonight. So check this out. And it deals, again, Brother Malcolm speaking specifically on comparing civil rights to human rights. So check it out, y'all.
Minister Malcolm, I'd like to know why you place so much emphasis on calling the freedom struggle among Afro-Americans in this country a struggle for human rights rather than civil rights.
Well, most of our people don't even know the meaning of civil rights. And by not knowing what it is they're actually trying to get, it has eluded us for the past 100 years. Civil rights is supposed to mean citizenship. When you have civil rights, you have citizenship. When you have citizenship, you have civil rights. And if the 22 million Afro-Americans were actually citizens of this country, it wouldn't be necessary to pass any kind of additional legislation to include us in the Constitution. If you notice, whenever the people come here from Europe, they can come here from Poland, which is a communist country. They don't need any legislation to make this Polish person a citizen. They don't need any additional civil rights legislation to make the refugees from Hungary who come here citizens. They don't need any additional legislation to make anyone who comes to this country a citizen. But when it comes to the rights of the black people who are the descendants of slaves, then immediately new legislation is necessary. So this right here implies that when the Constitution was written, in some way or other, it must have excluded those of us who were slaves at that time. And because we were excluded from the Constitution when it was originally written, today they have to amend it in order to include us. But if you notice, the Civil War didn't include us in the Constitution. Had the Civil War Constitution, we would be citizens today. Had the amendments even to the Constitution actually included us, we would be citizens today. If the Supreme Court desegregation decision way back in 1954 was sufficient to include us into the jurisdiction of the Constitution, all of our problems would be solved today. So there's something about civil rights that makes it almost impossible for us to get it. So you have to know the difference between civil rights and human rights. As long as our people are begging for civil rights, or they are labeling their struggle for freedom, justice, and equality under the label of civil rights, then what they do is
leave us in the jurisdiction of Uncle Sam's court. And it's actually Uncle Sam who is guilty of all of the violation of our rights that have taken place in this country. So when you go to Uncle Sam to try and get some kind of redress over civil rights violations, you're taking your case to the man who's responsible for the violation. So the only way our people can really get some meaningful results, it has to be taken out of Uncle Sam's hands and taken into a world court, in the world court that has been set up to listen to the complaints of human rights violations is in the United Nations. Human rights are international, and civil rights come within the jurisdiction of the country where these rights are violated. Some people may wonder why our brothers from Africa and Asia have not spoken out more boldly or without compromise on the injustices that the 22 million Afro-Americans experience in this country. They can't speak out. As long as these injustices are labeled by us as civil rights, then this remains a domestic issue, and none of our people from abroad, because of protocol, can become involved in Uncle Sam's domestic problems. So all the civil rights groups have to do is expand the struggle from civil rights to human rights. And once it is expanded to the level of human rights, then this puts us in the position to charge Uncle Sam with violating the UN Charter on Human Rights. We can take it before the United Nations, and other nations of this earth can then side with us and indict Uncle Sam for the mistreatment of 22 million Afro-Americans. The very fact that the struggle of the black people in South Africa, or I should say the injustices that have been experienced by black people in South Africa has come before the UN, or the injustices experienced by our own people again in Angola has been brought before the UN. Even the oppression of the Hungarians has been brought before the UN. The plight of the Jews in Soviet Russia, and there's only 3 million of them in Russia, has been brought before the UN. Well, then why hasn't the problem of the 22 million Afro-Americans come before the United Nations? It has not come before them because the leaders of the civil rights struggle don't understand what civil rights actually amount to. When they are mature to the point where they can see that their present struggle has kept them under Uncle Sam's jurisdiction and Uncle Sam is not morally capable of solving this problem, then they will shift it out of the courts of Uncle Sam and take it to the courts of the United Nations on the level of human rights, and we'll get some kind of meaningful result. As long as we keep it at the civil rights level, we alienate the support of our brothers and sisters in Africa and Asia. But when we shift it to the level of human rights, we have the support of billions of black, brown, red, and yellow people from all over this earth behind us.
The United States is a great world power and has in the past exercised a lot of control and power within the United Nations. So how can you expect to wage a successful battle against such a powerful country in a world court?
Well, whenever you believe in what the United States has taught us concerning democracy, which means one voice, one vote, this is good, because in the present world setup, world governmental setup, as is represented by the United Nations, each country there has one vote, which means that no matter how wealthy a nation is, it only has one vote. And no matter how poor a nation is, it still has one vote. So the ballot actually equalizes the poor man and the rich man. Back when the United Nations was set up, it consisted largely of white nations, because most of the dark nations were then colonized and weren't independent. Since the dark nations have gained their independence and have emerged on the scene, today in the UN you have more dark nations who are in a position to vote in a bloc than you have white nations. So that we have a situation now where the grouping together of the dark nations who formerly were colonized has given them enough political power to offset the military power and prestige of these mighty white nations of the West. And it is their support. It is only in the United Nations, where everyone has the doubt, where everyone has equal vote, that the plight of the black man can be given a just hearing and the weight of the dark world can come down on our side and balance the scale on our side. But whenever you take it into the white man's court, you never will get justice, because the white man is the guilty one who committed the crime in the first place. It's like taking your case from the wolf to the fox to take it to Washington, D.C.
I don't think I wholeheartedly go along with that, Mr. Malcolm. I have some appreciation for your discussion as regards to
the human right and the civil right. But here in America, as a band of Negroes, I think the most progressive thinking that we could possibly attain is civil rights. This is the thing that we want. This is the thing that we hope to get. This is the thing that we're going out to fight for. Without our civil rights, the human rights, and the rest of the elements are non-entities as far as
human rights come before civil rights. Human
that
rights.
May be so, but the civil rights are an important factor.
You can never get
civil
rights until you have human rights. Human rights represent the right to be a human being. Whenever you are respected and recognized as a human being, your civil rights are automatic.
But if we get civil rights, we are human beings.
No, you have to get the recognition of human rights first. This is why people can come here from Africa and Asia and immediately are able to benefit from what the Constitution stands for, because they are recognized as a human being when they touch the shores of North America. But the black people in this country, all of our human characteristics were destroyed by slavery. Our language was destroyed. Our history was destroyed. Our culture was destroyed. And then the white man taught us that we were savages in the jungle and living at a subhuman level. And for this reason, when they put the Constitution together, they classified our people as three-fifths of a man, which meant subhuman, not a complete human being. And once our human characteristics were completely destroyed, this gave them justification for treating us like we were animals. And it also justified their selling us from plantation to plantation like you sell a horse and a cow and a bag of wheat. Why, George Washington himself, historically, is on record as having traded a black man for a keg of molasses, which shows you he didn't regard that black man as a human being. If the black man's human rights had been respected, he never could have been a slave here in America. And if his human rights had been restored by the Emancipation Proclamation, automatically we would have been citizens right after the Civil War. So we must be regarded as human. Our human rights must be respected before we can ever be regarded as citizens and our civil rights be respected.
Shay, everybody, I just wanted to let you know that the person that was debating with Malcolm was James Baldwin, the person that the film I Am Not Your Negro came out about, what was it, in 2016 when that movie came out. So just so you know, that was James Baldwin, the author who Brother Malcolm was debating with briefly in that clip. And again, you know, we've got a lot of homework to do, but it can and will be done. So I just want to thank you again for checking us out this Friday night and for hanging out with us and exchanging your positive, melanated energy with us and allowing us to share ours with you. And with that being said, this is Queen Tahira. We're signing off for the week, y'all. We'll see you on Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 p.m. Central, and 3 p.m. Pacific. I love you. I thank you. And most of all, I appreciate you and respect you. See you soon. Salute. Thank you.